This is an Envoice Media podcast.
Out of 100%, there's only 0.0.0 chance that you're going to make it.
They also want to sleep. They're also cold. This movie is your baby. You know, you're like working so hard to make it happen. And you want everybody to feel the same as you do. Mm-hmm. But like, unfortunately, they don't.
You just kind of do it.
Yeah.
And try to fake the chemistry.
Okay.
You're listening to Just Fake It, Coming to LA podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Nora and Marina.
Hey everyone, welcome to Just Fake It, Coming to LA. Here I am, Nora, with Marina.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm great. It's an amazing day, honestly.
It's beautiful. Finally, summer is here, which I'm very excited about.
Still wearing jacket, though.
LA, you always have to wear a jacket. That's true. You know, last time we spoke about the film school and experiences, the way we came here, because film school, that's what connected us. And that's want to elaborate on this topic because I felt like we did not cover like lots of day-to-day activities there, because I'm pretty sure lots of people who want to study in film school, especially in LA, they think it's such of a cliche thing, but at the same time, people don't know what's actually cooking.
That's true. And it's something that people always ask me about, right? It's something interesting about me.
They're like, oh, that's so cool. But like,
yeah, tell me more about it. Like, what did you do there? Like, how is like life looking there?
Made films. That's what you did.
We did, which is great. Which is, again, kind of this film school we went to. It's New York Film Academy. And this school is specifically very oriented on a hands-on. So we made a lot of movies. We made a lot of movies together, separately, with everybody, right? So that's a great part about it, because I know that many other schools, like when kids go like to school, right, they learn, but they mostly read books, they write essays, they learn about great directors and, I don't know, people of the industry, but they don't actually do movies.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like crazy if you think about it.
Yeah, when I studied acting, we had classes like screenwriting, editing. So that's how I know AVID program, all those programs. We studied how to pitch films and how to hold sound and all this. We worked with cameras because they told me like there's no such thing as you're purely actor, producer or director or a screenwriter. Yeah. You have to know from A to Z the whole cuisine, let's say, how it's being made. Only absolutely. This way you can understand. That's why lots of actors eventually transfer to be directors or producers. Mm-hmm. You see nowadays all these A-list actors, they have their own production companies.
Yeah.
And it's normal because you outgrow something you maybe studied and you worked for, and then you want to do something else. At the end of the day, it's all storytelling.
Yeah.
No, we're the hero here because everybody wants to do storytelling. We're passionate about this. So I don't think there is much of a separation, which I will tell you one thing. In Hollywood, overall in film industry, actors are the last piece in the food chain.
What?
Yes. And my teacher one time told me, and I love my teachers because they were so straight up. They never gave us like this pink glasses to wear about the industry and the city overall. They told us if you cannot take it, you're not going to survive in the industry.
Okay.
And I'm very thankful for him saying that. And he also told me that, for example, there are like lead actors, right? Yeah. Principals, and there are extras. Uh-huh. And we were always asking about extra work because that's how actors make money.
Yeah, that's how you start, right?
To survive, to get into SAG, you know, to all those places, you get vouchers.
Yeah.
Unless you're lucky enough to get into a show right away, which is SAG contract. But he literally told us how they call people on set who are extras. They said eating props.
Oh,
harsh.
That's so dark.
That's so harsh. And I was like, are you sure? Like, this is so bad. Like, you can't talk about people that can. He was like, if you guys cannot take things like that, you are not supposed to be in the industry, because industry is tough. It's cutthroat. At the same time, it's never nothing ever promised. So you might work hard. You might audition a lot. You might do this and that. Let's say all the steps, you go to acting classes, but you might never make it. Because out of 100%, there's only 0.0.0 chance that you're going to make it.
That's
and
crazy.
Let's be fair. It's true.
It is. Yeah, it is true.
But I don't want to be pessimistic because people do still make it. And what is make it for you? Because when we asked about like, what is it making? And everybody thought, I'm going to get an Oscar. That's how everybody thinks in film school, because they think that they're so cool. They're master's degrees. They're getting all this like knowledge and they're going to get an Oscar. Yeah. And we used to gather watch an Oscar and vote for who's going to win.
Absolutely.
For something.
Oscar parties. Yeah.
And I remember my teacher told me, you think Oscar is success? It's no. I was like, what do you mean? That's the top success you can get in film industry. He's like, no, actually making a living doing what you do, That's a success already. I'm like, what do you mean? Usually, because you, especially as an actor, for example, yeah. I know that cameramen, directors, and producers, they can still work, make money on this because they have skills. Actors also, some of actors have, but they still push on acting. And most of the times, actors pay the least.
Yeah.
Most of the times, they shoot it for free. And most of the times, it's very hard for them to break into the industry because they all they have is themselves, the acting skills, right? And sometimes they can't even get to audition because to audition for certain good projects, you have to have a good manager or agent, but good manager and agent will only sign you by referral.
Okay.
And you already have to have some credit. So this is like the circle where you can't get out of the circle. You're always doing this independent films or short films or student films to get this show reel, right? And it takes sometimes years.
Yeah.
Or you go to this extra work to get the voucher to become SAG eligible. Mm-hmm. But most of the commercials, 90% of that is not SAG. So it's also different. Like, do you need to join SAG? And if you do, how much time you're going to spend for it? And to sign with a good agent or manager, again, you already have to have some credit. So how do you get that?
Yeah,
so
it's a closed circle.
You know, every major overall, like let's say doctors, engineers, like any other major, they have some sort of pathway which already been taken. And they know they graduate, they need to get a good job, they need to have good grades, they need to get a good job, and then they grow in their careers. And they're already getting paid from the day one. When it comes to acting, there is no particular path. You don't know what to do. Especially when you get out of a school. And we had a class which is called business acting.
Uh-huh.
And they told us like, okay, here's your cover letter. We prepared cover letters. Here's your headshots. You have to have headshots before graduation, which I loved about New York Film Academy. And then we have like this sit down at the end of the, I don't know if you guys had that, but we had like three people from the department. And we were walking, I think it was like the last day of the school, walking one by one. And they were giving us their feedback. And I remember I'm sitting there with the three people, three teachers I know, and they literally told me, Nora, if you want to get out of this picture of a bikini girl, you gotta train more. Some people walk outside, like walked out crying because they were not easy on you.
Okay.
And I liked it because the real world, when I got out to the real world, I realized that even the half of what they said is even harsher. So they literally told me, if you want to get out of the bikini type, you got to train more. You got to become a better actor.
Okay.
And I accepted it. I was like, okay, well, honestly, I appreciate your honest opinion. And I do think I need more training because whenever you don't work, you train.
Okay.
That's how it works. And you should be in class.
Uh-huh.
If you're not in class, you're working. You can take breaks. But I personally did lots of classes. Lots of classes after. Even though you have a master's degree in something doesn't mean. It's like a muscle. You have to keep training it.
No, absolutely.
But I did appreciate the honesty and everything they said. It became a real truth in real life. And lots of, trust me, out of my class or my course, there are only few people who are still in the industry who stayed here. Some of them traveled back home and they're doing it back home, but only few. I would say 80% either left doing something else or gave up.
Yeah, no, the same for me. Like my classmates, there's some people who are still in the industry, but most of them, I don't even know what they do. Like they're not showing up, you know, on social media or anything, like doing film related, which is okay. You know, it's fine, but it's just interesting to see those people who keep fighting and keep doing what they came there to do.
Yeah.
And it's pretty crazy. But okay, getting back to the film school, do you remember what was the classes that you had? Because like we, for example, at my program, right, we didn't have any acting classes and I have no idea what they taught you guys. I'm like, I imagine there's like some sort of like improvisation classes. Like
oh, there is definitely, you start with voice and speech.
Okay.
And movement class.
Ooh.
You have it 2 times a week, 4 hours each, like 3-4 hours each.
Oh, nice.
And we have very small groups, like maximum 10 people. So you work with pairs all the time, movement and voices. We start with basics, like with animal sounds, with animal just crawling on the floor and all that fun stuff. I loved it. I personally loved it. And then we also had scene studies, also 2 times a week. And then we had acting for film. So meaning that in this film, we studied theater.
Yeah.
And we studied film.
Oh,
and the best part was homework, because for acting for film, we had to watch films. And it's my favorite thing to do.
That's
your homework. Can you imagine homework to watch films? But of course, you cannot watch everything you want. There's like
Yeah, you have to watch whatever they tell you.
Yeah, they will give you like the hundreds of best movies. They are creating my taste. They literally created my taste for films. Mm-hmm. And I feel like nowadays I can speak freely that I do have a certain taste and that I suggest people the movies I like. And sometimes people think I'm psycho, but I do love festival films. I just love these art house films as well.
Okay.
But yeah, that's what happened. What about you? Like, I never really knew. I know that you guys were in a different building. Whatever directors did, all I know is you were always out there, out and about. So what did you do?
There was cameras. No, because our program was also like, it was surprising for me because we had a lot of these classes that I wouldn't expect we had. Like, for example, we had a film psychology. That was cool. Like, I've never expected we would take something like that. Well, obviously, we had, like, movie history. We had, surprisingly, we didn't have any acting.
That's interesting.
We had a casting class. They would teach us to work with actors. But we never had, like, the actual acting class. So, like, I have no idea how to act. Like,
I remember some of your directors from directing department, just because they don't know what the acting is. Sometimes when we collaborated a lot between directors and actors, just so people know, they do lots of stages in the school. And then, for example, when there is an end of semester, directors have to present their film and the actors have to also kind of connect. Yeah. And we get up on stage and we kind of audition in front of everybody, every director, and then director will pick you. And at some point there was like directors, I think there was like people from China. They literally, when I saw what I saw when they were working with actors on set, they came up to them and they're like, "Now you cry." I was like, "Whoa, this is not exactly brutal." Yes.
Okay.
Like literally, "Now you cry." Okay. Well, I guess that's how they work in China. I don't know, but it was completely wild and different for me because I tried to explain. Well, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
You gotta give some time. Just give a minute. Like time, something, but there was some miscommunication between acting and directing.
Yeah, obviously it was hard because like also I remember us they're bringing us like we had this kind of like it was like a class almost right audition right and they bring you guys they bring us all together in one room and they're like well do each other
do something do, like, yeah, do each something. Other
we're just like everybody
do
like,
something yes
no, we're like what do we do and then I remember actors like trying to perform and you're trying to write down remember everyone but you can't obviously because like I remember I was filming everybody with the phone then my phone was full of people I don't know like you know actors and stuff so
and I'll be honest with you obviously the actors who are Americans who are native English speakers always won those places like the improv classes and everything because it was so much better for them. And my English was not that good back then. And I tried to kind of fit in all the time and try to get the work because I needed also this footage.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, my strategy was I found one or two directors I always worked with and they liked my work and then how we worked because to impress every director in the department, even though I knew they have like great budgets, good films they're doing, I just couldn't fit in. Either they needed this or needed that. And I was not good enough. I accept that. I was not good enough. And it's okay. That's why when I was doing my thesis film as well, that's how I met you because I trusted. Yeah. You always find people who will believe in you, but there are not going to be many.
True.
Yeah. I also remember the schedules in film school. Our schedules were insane because we had like, every semester we had to do also theater performance. And present films.
And a movie. Okay.
And on the thesis, I remember the directing department, you guys had like a month of preparation, no school. Something like that. And for us, there was always school. We never had this time off to prepare for anything, but we also had to do thesis films on a professional level.
Yeah.
Plus, we had to do theater performance. Mm-hmm. Plus, we had to write a 20 minutes script all together and shoot it as film. So, scene study, acting for film, it's film. And then your own thesis film. And plus you write a paper. So there are four big things we had to present at the end.
Yeah.
Which I know directors didn't.
No, we had kind of a little bit different. We had a bigger project coming, which we were preparing all the time. But in between, there was a smaller project that you do in between. But you're still like going towards that big project. And basically what we had is we were filming every weekend almost because what they did, which was kind of cool, I really liked about the school, is they divided us into groups. Every time it's a different group, right? And like, let's say it's a group of four, right? And we have the weekend to shoot four short films, right? For this four people in the group. And what we did is like half day, right? One is director, someone else is the camera from this group, somebody else is the sound, and let's say, like, I don't know, makeup artist or something. Mm-hmm. And then we switch, and then we switch, and then we switch. And mm-hmm. that's how we produced basically four movies in a weekend, right? But also tried all the professions that are there. So, like, they give you opportunity to try everything, to know how everything works, to help your classmates, you know. And then later on, it was fun because there started, like, to be a fight in the group because, like, everybody knew who's, like, better at this, better at this. Yes. They're like, oh, I want to be with you, but I want to be with you. And then everybody was trying to grab, like, everybody. But it was, like, it was such a shady
It's like Hunger Games. Okay, you're stronger. I'm going to stick up with you.
Yeah, because, like, I want my movie to be better. I want my movie to be the best. But we're not allowed at this point of time in the beginning of the studies, right? Where we're not allowed to use other people. They were mm-hmm. like, you can only use your classmates. Mm-hmm. Do whatever you want with it, right? So that was an interesting experience and, you know, kind of trying yourself in different positions and in different things. And basically, again, if we're coming back to the crazy schedule, right, is what we had is we were studying the whole week. And I remember classes were starting at 9 a.m., right?
Yeah, till evening.
And last class ended at 7. So basically, it's the whole day you're there, you're studying. Well, we had like a lunch break or something, right? And then on a weekend, you shoot. So basically, no time for yourself at all.
And I remember I was asking other like master students from like other universities here. And I'm like, how do you even have time? Because they all worked.
Yeah.
And they all worked and they were hanging out at home. They were traveling. I was like, how do you guys even have time? Mm-hmm. Apparently, they only had 3 classes a week. And we had like 24/7 schedule. And I get it. It's a good thing. But at the same time, besides school, there was nothing for me for those times. Like nothing.
Yeah, absolutely nothing. Yeah, behind the school, you completely insert yourself in this world. And then you just do anything. And I kind of think it's kind of a little introduction into the movie world. Because mm-hmm. like, I don't know if you guys know, basically movies, they're shot. Like it's a long process.
And you're every day there, long hours.
Every
no
day.
Sleep.
Like, yeah, you don't have time for anything else in your life when you're working on a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I kind of think it's like a little introduction of what it looks like in a real life.
Yeah, it was an army. It was a training, for
it
sure.
It was a training. Yeah, but, you know, it's like, it's crazy how people who were there decided to do that. And like, for example, you, right? You decided to be an actress. And I know that LA is full of actors, right?
Yeah,
of course. Like every bartender, every taxi driver, you ask like, oh, I'm actually an actor, right? So I feel like you need to be so brave to decide to be an actress.
Okay, so for some time, in the beginning, I was very proud after graduation to say that I'm an actor.
Yeah.
And then for some time, when I took a break and I had to take a break, I stopped saying that I'm an actor because everybody perceive me in this like every other girl in LA. Because every girl in LA who comes here, she says she's an actor or model, but she doesn't have any clue what it is all about. And when you get blended into this crowd, that's what I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I was on set, like you could tell who is pro.
Yeah.
Like they know. Because there's certain vocabulary, there's certain like marks you have
Absolutely.
To hit, right? It's not just you come on set and you just start doing things. You gotta know everything.
Yeah.
You don't know how to break down the script. Like everything, it's the mm-hmm. whole thing. And lots of people, when they say they're actors, I got blended into this crowd and mm-hmm. I just stopped saying this. I was like, no, I don't want to be perceived as not serious, not professional, shallow person, because that's the reputation
mm-hmm.
in LA. Because the guys, for example, even when you meet men, right? They're like, oh, don't tell me you're an actor. Don't. And trust me, I've heard that a lot of times in my life. And people laugh at you. Oh, what? Acting? Oh, you actually need to study for this? What?
Even still being in LA, which is the capital of actors.
Well, I also heard that I don't want to date any actors or models.
Okay.
That's what men say, because that's the stigma.
But they secretly.
But they do, but the stigma is they don't. Everybody wants to have a girlfriend with a real job, with a real profession, mm-hmm. because they don't think it's real.
Yeah, nobody thinks it's
real. Nobody thinks it's real unless they touch it. But at the end of the day, the actors who actually made it, I'm sorry, but they are successful. Like to be in this field, especially in LA, to do this, you gotta have some stamina.
Yeah.
There's no way without it because there is so no, they don't even say no to you. They never really just contact you back.
Yeah, they never answer.
They never. They're just like, you come in and you go and you know you're not going to be here again.
Well, you never know. I feel like I believe in opportunities, okay? I believe that like there's this magic happens where you appear in a right time in the right place. But again, from the point of view of director, right? When I had like audition and you had like hundreds and hundreds of people.
You don't have time.
Right? You don't even remember It's like you just you find that someone who you remember, and then everybody else you don't remember. And it's just like, it's a normal thing. It is what
that's,
it
that's
is.
That's why some actors, like Scorsese and DiCaprio, right? They stick around. Like some,
yeah,
that's how it works. Yeah, I had one director in school who also stuck around and I was doing his films because I was on the top of his list. He was on the top of my list.
Yeah.
So that's how it works. It's not just about who is the best actor. It's about how can you communicate. And if you become friends, just become friends with people. Be genuine. Yeah. And that's the key. If you get an opportunity to work on set, if you get an opportunity to work on a big set, be cool. Be friends with everybody. Be genuine. And they will remember you. But be prepared that they won't. And it's okay. Yeah. Don't take things personal. Don't assume. Just that's do your true. Job.
Okay. And did you have, I don't know, what was the hardest class for you? Like, did you
Shakespeare.
You had like a Shakespeare
class. We had the whole semester. Imagine that English is my third language, right? I'm still learning. And it's, I had to memorize plays, the whole plays to do like Alan Ball, like lots of them. And in the third semester, I was brave enough to even take on a directing role. I directed a play in my fourth semester. I don't know why I did that because I had so much going on already. And I remember I had this dye on my eye, which did not even heal because I was so stressed.
Oh my God.
Yes, everything was falling apart and I was so stressed, but I still pulled it through.
Okay.
And that moment I found you, I was super stressed about my thesis film because my other director dropped my project two weeks before the shoot and my location flaked. So everything I worked for, I got green light because in our school to shoot your thesis, you have to go through the process of three green lights.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you have to provide them all the permits because LA is all about permits. You can't just go and shoot anything anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about permits. Everything costs. And then as a student, I got lots of discounts. But anyway. And I remember my classmate Ian, he had like all these bruises kind of like looking skin because he was so stressed because he shot a movie and I think something happened with his footage and it was all gone.
Oh no.
And that
it's
was
like
scary.
The worst thing that
and
happened.
The worst thing that can happen. And imagine you're experiencing this all in school and especially you have this the schedule and you can't be behind and everybody is trying to do a better movie.
Yeah.
And of course there was like separation because especially in acting department, you got to understand it's lots of full of like, you know, people of who they think either they're better than others or they're worse. Like there was lots of emotions going on. And and especially in acting class, you reveal your emotions every single time. You cry, you laugh, you do all those things, you become better, you hug. There is no like, it's not a regular life.
You fake
once
it.
You, no, it's, that's the thing. That's the thing. When you're in acting class, they tell you, you're in a safe space and you can open up. And do what you can do. It's all about instincts. So they will open up. They will make you grounded. They will make sure that you come out. And only because your true emotions come out, that's how your acting can look and be truthful. Because acting is living truthfully under imaginary circumstances. From Stanislavski. Okay. Everything's coming from Stanislavski. Okay. So in this case, you're truly living. But to get a job, you got to fake it. Acting is easy. To get a job is hard.
It's coming. Acting comes next.
Acting comes next. Just think about just be prepared. No, be good.
No,
but get a job first because 90% of your time you're auditioning. You're trying to get a job. That's the reality of it. And and that's what they told me in film school. I'm glad that I was prepared. I did not have these pink glasses. And everybody who were like fighting or, you know, there were lots of conflicts happened during between. I always said, like, it doesn't matter because once we graduate, nobody's going to care. Everybody's going to be on their own. There's not going to be such thing as class anymore. And and when people acted like it's still high school, I'm like, no, it's not. You're paying a lot of money to do this.
Yeah.
So make it work. Make it worthy.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then you can get something out of it, even if you're not deciding to become an actor after, right? Or a filmmaker or somebody. You still learn this art of creating the imaginary word, which you can use, I don't know, in marketing. You can use it in, I don't know, just real life, dating. I don't know, everything basically. You can apply it to everyday life, right? Being creative is like every profession is creative, right?
No, life is art.
Yeah.
Art is life. That's art. How it goes. Well, I also wanted to ask you more about like your days in film school. I know that's just super busy and everything, but what was like do you remember anything in particular, like a certain day where you're like, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing doing this because, you know, it can become so stressful. Like, why do I even need that? And you're paying for this too.
honestly, I never questioned myself if I ever need that, because like I was so in love with everything that was happening there, especially after my experience back in Ukraine with university, right? I hated it. I didn't like it at all, whatever. And then I come to this university and everything is just like, as I mentioned, it's a Hogwarts, right?
Hogwarts.
Yeah, like it's magic everywhere. I don't know. Well, we definitely, I remember like we had probably what, like 4 or 5 classes a day, right? Mm-hmm. It was different topics, and some were more, you know, difficult than others. And the most difficult class for me was screenwriting. Because mm-hmm. like you have to be...
Language barrier.
Yeah, again, you have language barrier, you have a lot of pressure, you have to have writing skills, right? Because like you can be director, but you don't like... It's not necessary that you can write and write.
Not every director writes.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of criticism. There's a lot of, again, classmates from different parts of the world, right? Which was kind of cool about this school too. Because like, for example, I had Italian classmates, Saudi Arabia. We had Japan. Chinese. We had Chinese. We had Swiss. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody from different parts of the world. And it was so interesting, but at the same time, very competitive, because everybody was trying to, you know, to prove that like you're the best.
It is very competitive environment.
Yeah. It is competitive, but also, you know, again, I really get this like, I get inspired when there's people around me who love what they do and when their eyes are shining. Because, like, I don't want to say hate people, but I really don't like people who are like, you know, oh, yeah, this is so hard. Well, I don't want to do that. Like, what are you doing here? Like, get out. Mm-hmm. You know, I love people who strive, who fight, who give me a good fight. I love that. And it really drives me forward. And I remember... my classmate Alessandro, he was from Italy. And
I remember Alessandro.
Yeah, I remember Alessandro, right? And we became friends, but we were also kind of this like friends who were like always competing. We were always competing in like who's better movie, who did the work, like the homework better, who did this better. And like it wasn't a fun way, it wasn't in a bad way, but it was like, you know, and it was driving me forward. And I'm really grateful for him that, you know, he was there and he was playing this game with me. That was super fun. And, you know, so kind of the days were like, they're always full of, I don't know, things happening, interesting stories, because you're not only working on your project, you're also working on everybody else's projects, right? Because we're all participating, and we're writing our movies, reviewing our movies, watching other movies, and it's all like you getting this like little pieces from everybody, and it was so fantastic. And like, you know, when you have this cool team of people, the crew that is working together, and even if we didn't agree on something, right? Because there was like, again, there were people from India who is like drawn into Bollywood movies, right? Which are like completely different kind of, I don't want to say form of art, but they're like very different, right? But there is still beauty in that as well. Mm-hmm. But you might not agree to that, but it was cool to find compromises. Sometimes we were fighting. I remember I got in a fight with somebody, I don't know who it was, but like it was about the movie, right? And we needed to do it as a group, but we couldn't. Sorry, I gotta check. So we had to do it as a group, but we couldn't find, you know, a solution mm-hmm. together. And we got in a big fight. And I remember at that point of time, I gave up. I was like, okay, you do whatever you want to do. And like, I just like, you know, I quit. Whatever. Mm-hmm. And
it happens a lot on set, lots of fights.
Yeah, and then you have to fight with it, but you know, at that point of time I lost basically, because I quit. I was I don't care.
What did you do?
And then, well, nothing, I just stepped out and then let them finish the it was like in class project or something, but we had to work together. And it was probably my mistake too, you know, but it's always hard to find you know, the similar kind of energy always and everywhere. So basically, I remember my teacher was like really mad at me at that point of time, and they're like really like mm-hmm. just like telling mm-hmm. me that like, you can't do that, you can't be always the boss, people don't have to always listen to you, you have to like listen. But I'm like, but he's wrong. And they're like, it doesn't matter.
I understand.
Yeah, so well, there were situations like this too, but this is the situations you learn from, right? And it's very cool and very interesting. And I don't know, there were so many interesting projects we worked on. And I don't know, what was your favorite project you worked on at school?
Gosh, I love directing my own play. Okay. It was a big challenge for me on the fourth semester, and the last semester, when there was so much, like I had to do thesis film, I had to perform, and mm-hmm. lots of things. I decided to direct a play because I felt Okay, here's another one. Did I fake it, kind of? Uh-huh. Partly, yes, because originally I wanted to be in a play, and you have to get auditions to be in a play.
Okay.
And no one ever took me, mm-hmm. to be honest. And then no one ever took me to be in a play because it was first two semesters. I didn't really stand out. First of all, I was late for classes, so I was always behind. Okay. And then in the third semester, I wanted to do this play, and I went to, you know, to the break. And then when I come back, the partner I wanted to do it with, I told him that he will direct and I will be the actor. And then guess what?
He quit.
No. He decided to direct, but he cast other people. Yeah, it was my idea. It was my project. But he literally put me aside. And then when we came back, I was like, Miska, why? Oh, yeah, I just said his name. I still we're best friends.
Everybody knows who you are now.
Everybody knows who you are. But yeah, and he was like, yeah, I had to. Because it's his project. And then when he's directing as a director, you think, that's what I realized later. As a director, you think, okay, it's not about friendship. It's about who I'm going to get the better for my play. Yeah. And I wasn't the best. And it's okay. Later on, he did this. I was like, congratulations. You know, I was very happy for him. And I picked another play. A semester later, I did it on my own. Uh-huh. I directed, which I could have put myself in. I just didn't want to. I wanted to direct a play to see. I wanted to leave something behind before I graduate. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be remembered for something. And guess what? My poster of my play is still on the walls of the university. Nice. So they put it on, and I'm kind of proud of it because I did something more than the regular student did. And that was really rewarding for me. Good experience. But in acting department, you got to understand there is lots of egos and, you know, clashing. Yeah. And we had lots of miscommunications and fights, especially when you have to act with somebody and sometimes you don't like them.
Yeah, but you have to.
But you have to.
Fake it. You have to fake that you like him.
You have to fake it. And on the rehearsals, you barely speak. Yeah. You just kind of do it and try to fake the chemistry.
Okay.
But overall, I remember at the end of the university, there were people who didn't speak to each other. There were people who didn't speak to each other. And there are people who are helping each other on thesis films. Mm-hmm. There are people who did not invite each other for doing thesis films. So for me personally, I was never a person who always had many, many friends because I'm not likable.
Okay.
I'm not likable for a reason because I always have my mind. Mm-hmm. And when we were writing the script together for a 20-minute thriller at the end, everybody was writing their own part, right? And we connected. And then I told him it doesn't make sense and we had a big fight.
Okay.
So on my team, there was like me and a couple of other people who disagreed with the script and there was like other people. And it's all about the leadership because in acting class, everybody have his egos and everybody just wants to be a leader. But there was like highlights. I did not obey.
Yeah.
And there was another leadership going on.
Okay.
And there was always this power clashes anyway. There's two girls, me and another girl, right?
Okay.
And we're both trying to make our point and none of us wants to obey. So that was the big issue. And I remember there was even teachers and things like, this is some drama happening. And I said, you know what? It doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we make the script logical. Because if it's illogical, I'm not doing it.
Okay.
But you have to do it. So they had to. So it's funny because you were kind of in school, right? You shouldn't have those things, but you still do because it's acting school.
Yeah.
But when I looked at other groups, they were pretty fine. So I'm thinking, was it me who just did not agree with certain things and I wanted to do things my way because that's how I'm used to?
Yeah.
Or it's just like, just you know, things just happen, everybody's just stressed out. And it's okay because at the end of the day, we're all friends now.
Mm-hmm.
Or none of us have any beefs with each other, which is beautiful. And some of us stayed here. Some of them are already teachers are in drama schools, universities. Okay. Yeah, some of us, which is great.
Yeah,
and everybody's kind of checking on each other, like, how are you doing? Are you still in the industry or not? I know some girls, they went back to Lebanon. They're still acting and she's having great movies there.
Nice.
Beautiful, talented actors. So it all depends. And I was the person who in the beginning said, I'm not going to stay in LA. I'm going back because I was on scholarship.
Yeah.
And I told everybody, I'm not staying in LA. And funny fact that everybody who said that they will, they never stayed and I stayed.
That's how
life like works, this. I guess. And I always say like, hey, just don't say anything yet. That's why I never judge. I never say anything,
you know,
before things happen.
Yeah.
We just have, you know, our prayers, our beliefs, but keep it to yourself. Don't say I'm going to make it because at the end of the day, if you don't, people will remember that you said so in the beginning. That's why I always say, I'm on my way. Don't ask me. I'm on my way.
That's so cool. No, but I remember again coming back to the school and stuff, and I just really want to talk about it because it was my favorite project we did at school, and it was like somewhere in the middle of the semester, right in the middle of the year, and this project was the teachers gave us all the same script.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine we were like 15 people, right? Filmmakers, directors, aspiring, you know, super talented. And they give us all the same script that has like, I don't know, it was like 8 lines or something. Mm-hmm. And everybody had to make this movie, right? And it was like, it was the most interesting project. It's like...
Interpretation of yours can be different.
Yeah, because like, how do you direct? Like, you have the same idea, but like, how do you direct it, right? And how everybody's going to do it. And it was like, first of all, it was very interesting to do that project, but it was also interesting, like, oh, what's everybody else did? It's like...
So you're thinking about other people more even sometimes.
Not more, but like, it's just so interesting.
Competition.
Because like, oh, he had like such a smart idea. Why didn't I think about it? But anyway, I remember... I did that project, and this is still one of my favorite projects I did, even though it's like a small film, right? It's not my script at all, but I had that idea. It was a little sexy. It was a little kind of like in a music video vibe, and it had like basically a boy and a girl in it, and they were like making out and stuff.
I think
like,
I remember that one.
Yeah, it's a super cool project. I remember I did that, right? But I worked on a couple of my other classmates' projects, right, at the same time, but I didn't know what everybody else did. And I remember we come to school, right? We have the day of screening where we're like all showing our movies, and that one was really important for me because like we watched all the movies and it's my time, right? Screen the movie. I'm nervous, but I know it's good because I know deep inside that it's good and I love it. And I remember I screened it and we had two teachers reviewing it and it was like my favorite teachers at school. I don't want to like, I don't want to say bad about anybody else, but it was my cinematography teacher. His name was Lance Fisher and it was my directing teacher, Jeff Hare. And they were reviewing this movies and, I remember they watched my movie quietly, like, you know, it's quiet, like everybody's watching and you're just sitting there and like, what are they going to say? Like, what are they going to, you know, what are they going to do? And then I remember they turn around to me and they tell me one thing. They're like, Marina, you are a filmmaker.
Wow.
Yeah. And I remember that moment. I was like, you know, and it was like, it felt so good. It felt like, you know, like you finally appreciated, you finally there. Like, and I know that like, it's still a lot of work, right? But somebody, and especially of that level, appreciating what you did was this little small piece of like, you know, assignment. It was so great, but it had a backfire too because all my classmates were in the room.
No.
And everybody was like, oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That girl. Mm-hmm.
So people stopped liking me after that.
Yeah, people don't like
well, which is success. Yeah, which is like, which is pretty normal, right? But yeah, some people were pissed and... But it is what it takes, you know.
I mean, this industry overall, there is always constant competition.
Yeah.
And every time you come on set, it's different team, right? Mm-hmm. So it's hard to make... Usually directors and like the production team, usually they come together. Sometimes they work on different projects together. But with actors, it's different. Yeah. You come and it's every time new team. And how do you build a relationship? How do you become friends? It's honestly, I'll be honest with you, with most of the people I was on set with, I don't even like interact anymore because it's been a while ago and
Of course.
If they, on the top of their head, they will remember, oh, I kind of need Nora now because that's, she fits. Yes. But overall, usually it's everyday changing thing. So for me personally, when I was there, everybody was dreaming about getting Oscars. I don't know, some everybody just want that.
I'm but still what about you? About
what
will,
you're still dreaming about Oscars.
Yeah.
What would be the film you would make?
The film I would make. I don't know. Okay, well, I'm going to get back a little bit and dreaming about Oscars. I don't just dream about the moment of me getting Oscar. I dream about all this way I'm
going
to make to get there. Like, because I think it's so interesting. Can you imagine, like, even like, I don't know, getting approved for a project? This is huge. Making the project, this is huge. I don't know, finishing, releasing, getting the box office, you know, and then all this moment still realizing that like, oh, you're nominated. And now you're like, oh my God, I'm going to be there. And then like going to Oscars, like meeting all these people and then getting the Oscar. Like, are you kidding me? I'm going to die right there. But like,
do you think all your classmates in school also had the same dream?
Well, I think so. I don't think some people were brave enough to even like, you know, think about it. They were maybe like, oh, well, I want to work on an Oscar movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one way too, right? Mm-hmm. But most of the people, most of the people that were there, they were like, yeah, I'm going to go there. And believe me, I saw some people that I'm sure I'll see at Oscars. Like there were people at that school that I'm sure that they're going to get their Oscars.
They were that good.
They were great. They were like, they were authentic. They were bold. They were like brave, you know, and they didn't even like have to say it. Mm-hmm. That I won an Oscar. I was like, I can see it. You're going to get there. And like getting an Oscar, it's not even about, you know, holding that statue. It's just like getting to the level where people know you, where you great, where you make great movies that become a history. Mm-hmm. This is, I think this is what it is about. Not about getting the statue, but like making a history and leaving your name, you know, somewhere in a book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the most beautiful moment. But again, it doesn't have to be Oscars. It's just like, you know, I don't know, get in a big movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like still for me, like I worked on like one feature so far, right? And it wasn't big or anything, but it's still cool. Like it's on Amazon and like I can go and watch it.
That's, and
like,
you can tell people, hey, my movie's on Amazon.
Yeah, like, right? It's like, how exciting is that?
For, it's, yes, crazy. Yeah. And as industry people, we know when it's big, when it's not that big. Yeah. But like for other people, it sounds really big. Yes,
yeah, especially. And again, if we're coming to the topic of faking it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you can post like, oh, well, look, I worked on this feature. It's an Amazon. And everybody, mm-hmm. especially people who are not that much into the industry, they're like, wow, you're mm-hmm. so big. And you're just like, yes, I am. But like you make everybody believe that you're big. And then this is what makes you big after.
Yeah, right? That is true, because you tell yourself and you tell everybody, I'm a film director, and that's how it goes.
Yeah.
And everybody will perceive you as you are, because there is certain, okay, everybody, let's say Instagram also helps in this case, because everybody have some sort of persona or a brand.
Mm-hmm.
Because as actors, we were told that we're a product, we're a brand, yeah. and we're selling ourselves.
Yeah.
And how harsh it sounds, but it's the truth, because actors have a brand, and they're yeah. selling this brand, meaning themselves. That's the product mm-hmm. they're selling. So faster you figure out, because we had this class in film school,
yeah.
It's business acting, so they were telling us what our brand is. And it's funny, because brand, mm-hmm. it's not even the way you behave, yeah. it's how you look, your face,
okay,
where your cheekbones are, like how, like mm-hmm. it's all placed, okay. what kind of voice do you have. And I remember we wanted, of course, to be one thing, but then yeah. the branding, that the teacher told us that we have certain brands and we have to go for auditions and tell our managers mm-hmm. that's how people see me. And manager, that's how manager helps. He
okay.
discovers your brand, your strength, and how you stand out from others, and then he sends you to certain auditions.
Yeah.
You know? For example, there are like lyrical part, like a princess mm-hmm. to be saved, mm-hmm. victim. There is like also badass women,
okay.
right? Like who goes into action. Not every actors are fit for action. Not every yeah. actress is fit for a romantic role, and it's normal.
That's
it's true. It's the brand of the person. And there are actors who really diversifies their yeah. their work. So there are not many of them though.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to understand, to become a film actor, especially coming from TV, it's not easy. So there's like yeah. so many paths, so many brands, so many types. And I remember in my classmate, I'm still friends with her, a great mm-hmm. girl. She was told that she's more of like a teacher,
mm-hmm.
More of like this persona who teaches, who is kind, maybe kindergarten teacher. Mm-hmm. But she wanted to be a badass.
Okay.
She wanted to be a badass because she did martial arts and stuff. You know what she did? I remember she walks in to the class, I think it's one of the last days, she just cut her hair mm-hmm. short. She had long okay. hair. She just cut her hair short. She rides a motorcycle. She learned how to ride a motorcycle. I think yeah. she even did some tattoos as well. So she wanted okay. to push another brand. And it's still, you can still do this.
Yeah.
But she decided her own brand.
Okay.
In my case, it was like literally the way I look.
Okay.
It was a different brand. For some people, it's different. And it's okay. Somebody okay. agreed with that. Somebody didn't. It's mm-hmm. all up to an actor how they present themselves. But mm-hmm. let's be honest. First, they see a headshot.
Yeah.
And your videos. So first, they see how you look.
Yeah.
Second, how you act.
Okay.
And third, it's so on and so forth, how yeah, you communicate yeah, yeah. and how you work on set, how professional you are, because that's important. If okay. you're not professional on set even one time, they're not going to call you again.
Uh-huh.
The industry is rough, as I said.
It is rough.
And
it
everybody
is
rough,
but it's also beautiful in a way.
It is beautiful. Really? I always focus on rough things, but it is yeah. beautiful. And there is a reason why you're in this field, why you're still going on. And I wanted to ask about like expectations. While we're in film school, everybody have expectations, right? That they're going to make it. Everybody thinks yeah. they're going to make it. And I wish for everybody to make it, because I'm pretty sure there is a spot under the sun for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But what were your expectations? And then when you went out to real life, what happened?
Yeah. No, this is
you're like, yeah, do yeah, I want to like, talk what, about
what,
it?
What happened? Yeah, so like we graduated what? I graduated in 2018.
Yeah.
You too. Or you later.
18. I don't remember. Yeah. 18.
So we graduated 2018. Now we're in 2024. So we're what?
Six years
damn, in.
It's going six to be 6 years in. Since graduating. No, 5 and a half for me.
Okay. For me, 6 years in. And basically my journey somehow happened that I graduated from directing, right? But somehow, I don't know. Well, I like it. I like working with the cameras, but I basically ended up working in a camera department. So I didn't direct for what? Like, I still don't direct, actually. Well, I do a little bit. Okay.
Let's get back. So you, I know, because I remember you were working as a camera.
Yeah.
As a director of photography on every project I saw you after the graduation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because every time, for example, there is a project and they need a person, I will always call you because I know you work with cameras. That's my that's my impression of you nowadays.
Yeah, right? So that's kind of, it works a little bit against me now because like everybody thinks about me as a camera person only, but I also can direct, but nobody remembers that.
But hey, there's also beauty because you are one of the few people who are making a living through what you do.
Yeah, basically.
You're using your knowledge and you're making a living on this. And
basically, because when you have a hard skills knowledge that I got, and basically I got them, like basically the basis at school, right? But then I started developing it more on set. Mm-hmm. And then I have this hard skills. Now I can work with cameras. I know how it works. I know how to set it up. Film, I work with it. Recently, I started doing photography as well, which I never did before for some reason. I don't know why. It's related, but recently I was just like, why not? Why not to try? So I started doing photography. I really like it. I think there's some potential in there. And I think it's like a little preview of the movie for me, because I direct basically the story in a picture, right? And then it's easier to work on this project, right? In a smaller project, smaller scale. But if you create something truly wonderful, you can develop it into a video piece, and then if it's a video piece, you can develop it into a movie, and so on and so on. Because it's so hard to make a movie on your own. You know that, right? It's hard. You have to have a lot of people involved, a lot of money involved. But with the photography, I found that it's like it's a little easier on me. I can basically do it myself. Everything, well, except the model, right? I need the model, and then I can do makeup. I can film it.
There's no end to creation process, to creative process overall. But I remember we had to, when you were doing a thesis film, when I was doing a thesis film, we had to become so creative in, because we have limited budgets. We funded it with ourselves, right? Only a few $1,000, you have to make a movie.
Yeah,
and plus you have to have the whole team, feed them for a few days.
Yeah, it sounds like a few thousand dollars. Just like for people, it sounds probably a lot, but like they have to understand.
But you got to understand that to make a movie, it costs.
Yeah,
it costs more than money. That. And I remember some people have like the budgets of features in the directing department, and university gave us an equipment, but they didn't give the camera I wanted. I wanted the Red Dragon back then, and they gave me Sony. I was like, but I want to shoot my movie for another camera. So I had to hire a camera person with the right camera for me. And then my location flaked, so I had to rewrite the whole script 2 weeks before the shoot to fit the new location, which was not even there yet. And thankfully to all my friends who were literally came to help me, because I had like about 20 extras as well.
Yeah.
And imagine.
I was directing.
You were directing. It's hard to bring people. I just promised absolutely everything to everyone just to make it up, just to bring people in. I'm like, I'm going to give you everything. The parking is provided. Food is provided. You're going to get the footage. You're going to get the IMDb credit. You're going to get this and this and this. Just come.
It's going to be fast.
It's going to be fast and quick. Of course not. So everything, and I remember during our shoot, somebody complained they wanted to call the cops, and then my producer, and I was main producer, I wrote it, I bring the team together, and then I have to act as a lead.
Yeah, which is crazy.
So I remember I was just losing my mind, smoking in between, like I didn't smoke back then, but I just needed. So I remember somebody wanted to call the cops, and my PA, who was not actually a PA, but he is from directing department, so he's like, Nora, can you just relax, focus on your acting?
Oh, you can't.
But I was like, I can't. No, I'm gonna deal with this. I'm gonna feed. Yeah. I was like, did you pay for this part? And then in the middle of it, I have to go and act. And the scenes was so heavy, like obviously the first film you want to do in film school, and everybody want to do in film school, they want to do a lot of drama.
Yeah, everybody crying loves drama for
because
some reason,
for some reason when you start, you want to do as heavy as possible, because you think it's the best as possible, and every actress wants to show her abilities to cry. Which for me now, looking back, I laugh at it. Because the best movies which were shown were pretty much comedies.
Yeah, actually.
Comedies and just some sci-fi. Yeah, because everybody, I remember on thesis project, and with the great part about it, we screened it in Warner Brothers.
Yeah, we did.
It was like a big dog, like big professionals walking into Warner Brothers, and people are coming to see our movies. You know, it was pretty big. And I remember the film after film, especially in my group, it was like crying and crying and crying. I was like, damn it. And there was like one girl who did a comment. It was like, thanks God. Somebody made me laugh. Yes. Yeah, very cute. Absolutely. So I think it's also, it was kind of an ego because we wanted to be better than others. We wanted to show everything we can do. But in fact, we didn't know what to do.
No, I remembering now, it reminds me of my final project, right? And I haven't thought about it in a long time, but basically it was a crazy project where, first of all, I decided to do everything at night, right?
Outside. Which is the worst for a film. Yeah,
like, why not? Like, night. But it's not the worst because I decided I want a car crash scene. I want to crush.
You had a car crash scene, and you only had the small budget for it. And I don't know how you did. I saw your movie. I loved it, and I asked you how you did that.
And I remember how, like, me and my producer back then, Susie, we went to this junkyard, like, together, two girls, just like scared, not from here, but, and we were looking for like broken cars to deliver to the set so we can fake that they were broken. It was so insane. It was so crazy, but it was so interesting to work on that project, right? And then obviously I brought everyone. And I remember I shot my film 3 days, so basically two nights and one day scene, kind of. It was insane. Everybody was cold, everybody was falling asleep. But as a director on set, right, I was on so much adrenaline, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so I didn't want to sleep, obviously. I wasn't cold, I wasn't like, I was like right there. And I remember I even started getting pissed at people because they're like, why are they sleeping? Why are you sleeping on set? I was like, but then, you know, I had to slow myself down and be like, okay, this is not their movie. They're helping me for free. They also want to sleep. They're also cold. Like, you have to be like, realize. But like, when this movie is your baby, you know, you're like working so hard to make it happen and you want everybody to feel the same as you do. But like, unfortunately, they don't. Some people do, right? I had a great crew. Again, a lot of my classmates helped. Some people I hired. Some people I found through the school as well to bring them in and help. The actors were fantastic, which also worked for free for me. Thank you, actors.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. The last piece on the food chain.
Well, you know, but no, still, honestly, like, what is it, 6 years later, I go to my actor's Instagram page and he still has his profile picture from my movie.
Oh, you that's
know?
Nice.
And it's so nice. Like, I feel good about it, you know, it's like he liked it and then he's proud of it, you know. So that's very cool. And anyway, all those projects, they were crazy. And right now I kind of feel that pressure that they give you that actually helps you create things, right? Because right now when we don't have that pressure, nobody's like pushing you. You have to, you have deadlines. You just don't do it. I know you produced the movie recently, which I'm like so super proud of.
It's funny because when I was graduating, thank you so much. Yeah. When I was graduating, remember this committee of three I was just telling you about? One of them told me, Nora, honestly, you have skills of producing and bringing teams together. Like, you should elevate on that, because if you wait around and audition for projects, like, not much is going to happen. If you really want to make movies, you got to make movies, you got to become a producer as well. So it literally stayed in my head, and later on I produced a few movies in Kazakhstan where I acted. I also, you know, raised capital for this. It was like scenes with horses and mountains and snow and everything, and everybody's like, oh dang, this looks great. And I really didn't like when I look pretty in the picture, so I literally put lots of dirt on my face.
Okay.
Because I wanted it to be real. I don't like when people trying to just hire pretty faces, because that's not real. We want to see real deal, right? Real faces. Anyway, I just stepped out. Coming back to the projects. Yes, and I produced few projects here in LA. And I realized that I'm focusing right now on social topics. So the last film I produced called I Have No Place to Cry. It's in the round of festivals right now. I cannot show. I showed it to you particularly, but I cannot show it to everybody.
Well, I worked on that movie as well. We worked together all the time.
But yes, this movie was based on my personal experience. Not fully, but was inspired by it. It's about human trafficking. And any social topic right now, which is happening in this world, I'm very always hurt to hear things like that. And I think that movies are the way to make people aware, because we work with masses. Lots of people see the project. If the movie is a big hit, they will get inspired. We grow up on the quotes from the movies, or like we have like favorite actors and directors. It's the whole thing. They're like influencing so much. Just like podcasts, just like television, right? And if I can reach to people with my message, which is important to me, then I already succeeded. That's That's my way of thinking, because otherwise, why would people do movies? You got to be crazy, sure, because you have no normal schedule. If you don't make it, you're broke. If you make it, it's great, but you can still be broke. You can still be broke, because one time I met, I remember it was like the time, my first semester in Warner Brothers, mm-hmm, and Mel Gibson was there. He was presenting his film Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah.
And I remember everybody kind of lined up in the room, because, and he was just eating granola bars. Just saying, he's just this man with energy, even in his 60s. And everybody's just standing and no one says a thing. And I'm like, this is weird. And I just come up to him. I'm like, hi, Mel, I'm Nora. I'm from Kazakhstan. How are you doing tonight? He's like, great, how are you doing? I'm just eating granola bars. I'm like, dang, I know it's hungry. I'm also hungry. Yeah. So we just started talking and I was like, Mel, do you mind do a video for my country? He's like, sure. So we do a video. He's like, yeah, I've never been to Kazakhstan, but I'm going to go and we're going to, because of her, and we're going to ride yaks. And like, you know, simple thing. Yeah. And I remember all my classmates were like, what are you doing? I was like, what do you mean? He's a human being. He's fine. But why I remember this part, because he was already well known, but I remember that exact film he produced himself. So he put his own money.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say, even if you make a name, sometimes you don't get budgets for the projects you want to do. You still do it. You put your money. You can become even broke afterwards.
True.
But this kind of form of art, what we do, some people consider it as business. And it is business. Let's remember,
it is business. Of course.
People either lose or make money on this. And films are like very, very scary investments. Mm-hmm. Not everybody want to invest in films. But the films are also part of ideology of the countries. That's why some budgets, like in my country, government invest in films. Mm-hmm. And lots of countries in the world, government invest in films.
Course.
Hollywood is that big that they can, you know...
They have box offices, separate functioning things.
But overall, you got to understand, film is such a powerful tool to turn minds around. That's why when everybody says that everybody can make films, I don't think so. You have to have a message. Otherwise, you can do either good or bad. Right?
True.
It's influential.
I don't think every movie has to have a message, right? Because, again, movies are also a form of entertainment.
Yeah,
you have to understand people. It doesn't have to be like very deep or anything. You just have to have this like specific little details that relate to you and that make people laugh. They make people cry.
There are different genres. There's sitcoms, you know, there's comedies.
Yeah, but I agree that not everybody can make a movie because it takes a lot of willpower. It takes a lot of, I don't know, brain work.
So that's why everybody asks, like, why are you still in this?
Or why?
Because it's illogical, but you are still in this because you believe and because you cannot live without it. That's my answer.
Yeah, like I can't live without it. I can't imagine myself doing anything else right now. Like, I can't.
Yeah, and I think it's normal.
And, you know, we struggle. I know you struggle. I struggle sometimes. We don't have any projects. We don't have, like, sometimes I have
sometimes
months when,
we don't.
Like,
sometimes we have a lot. Sometimes it's overlaps.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Sometimes you're, like, super successful, but then the other months, I remember, like, recently it happened to me, maybe, like, probably last year. I just, like, I look and I have, like, $40 on my card.
Yeah.
And I don't have anything coming. And you don't know. Maybe tomorrow somebody will call me. Maybe tomorrow I'll find somebody. But, like, right now I have $40 on my card. And, like, what do I do?
Yeah, it happens. You know? Especially for, like, men example. Yeah. Like, I had classmates who are men. And they're like, oh, I have to feed my family. I don't know if I can continue with acting. Absolutely. So that's also hard. That's why everybody who is in the industry, own it. Believe in it. Work hard. You're going to make it. Because we're still in the same thing. We're also just faking it in this world, and we're doing it. Just come and do it together with us, because we're a community. We truly are.
And again, the purpose of our podcast, right, we want to bring all these people who have crazy dreams, right, or something unreal. It doesn't have to be film, and it can be anything, right, but that you have something crazy that you want to make happen, and let's do it together.
Fake this confidence, just believe in it, and this will take you further away. And even if it doesn't work, you'll still end up among the stars, right? You aim to the moon, you end up among the stars. Or you just at least tried. You just tried. That's a good thing. Anyway, we can talk a lot about film school, because there are so many great memories. I love the fact that I dreamt about it. It happened. Yeah. And I'm very grateful for everything that happened in the film school, that I met
so
people
grateful.
Like you. And we have lifelong relationships.
Yeah.
And all I want to say, just open your arms, embrace what's coming to your into your hands. Sometimes it's bad things. Like, I wouldn't meet Marina if my other director didn't flake on me.
Yeah,
and now we became friends. You know what I mean? So
that's
even
true.
The crisis can bring you to the positive outcomes. And remember, everything changes. Nothing is forever. So just nurture what you have now and be grateful.
Awesome. Thank you guys for listening to Just Fake It, Coming to LA.
Yep. And we want to thank you for listening, Marina and me, Nora. And we'll see you in the next episode. Stay tuned in.
And thank you, Invoice Media. Thank you. Voice your passion.
Voice your passion, guys. Passion.